Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this modern dystopia, it's another episode of Shirts and Skins with Trey and Chad on vacation. Coming up this hour at 12:45, Sam Pica handles the crap bag. At 12:25, Joe Cook of Inside Texas hops on for a practice update. And in mere minutes, in this year of bad news, we get a good bit of good news out of Dallas. One, leading to the Texas OU game, and the other, the Dallas Cowboys actually hit the practice field. I'm Trey Elling. Sam Pica is behind the glass. And yeah, Chad Hastings on vacation for one more day. Should be back on Monday. And Sam, I'm not going to lie, I am at the end of my rope this week. So I have no idea the direction today's show is heading other than the guests that we have lined up for today. I mentioned Joe Cook in the intro just now. We're also speaking with Dustin McComas at 1 o'clock. That is a weekly conversation with Orange Blood's own Dustin McComas. And at 2 o'clock, we are definitely breaking from sports for a conversation I had with Kyle Creek earlier in the week. He goes by the nickname The Captain, and is a guy who has really made a name for himself as a writer over the last few years, I guess, coming up with random but true factoids from history. Well, he's compiled those for a book that came out earlier this week called Effing History, 111 Lessons You Should Have Learned in School. So we will find out about some of those lessons coming up at 2 o'clock. Sam, you got the morning to sleep in. No Bucky and Aaron today. How you feeling?
Feeling pretty good, man. Yeah. I was thinking about starting the little, you know, coming in with Chad's little intro with his pirate noise or whatever he makes.
Arr,
you damn right, or whatever. I don't remember. He's got an eye patch or a peg leg or something. I don't remember what he looks like anymore. But
ooh, I wonder if Chad would look better with a peg leg or an eye patch. I guess I got to go eye patch because he does have such beautiful calves. Kevin and I have talked on these airwaves about hope that Chad eventually donates his calves to us if he ends up dying prematurely.
Well, maybe then you want him to have the peg leg. You can, you know, hasten this process. He doesn't even have to die at that point.
That's true.
You know?
Which, that's true.
I mean, live Chad, dead, it's, you know, I don't know. Oh, man, what if, oh, do you think Chad could, like, talk himself into death? Do you think he's concerned about this when he comes in and he does his own little intro? You think he's a little worried?
I'm a little bit concerned about that concept because this is well established that about 5 years ago, Chad started killing people off and death comes in threes, and Chad, sure enough, killed a trio of people. I think it started with Scott Weiland and continued to David Bowie, and then he also got Schneider from One Day at a Time, too, is obviously the least significant of those three names, but Chad showed his sick powers then, but we really haven't seen it happen since then. So I'm starting to wonder if us calling it out caused him to lose his effectiveness.
Oh, he got the yips on his superpower.
Got a little bit of a death yip. Death yip, as it were. But no, Chad will be back on Monday. I'm assuming he is enjoying himself throughout the course of this week. They're going straight staycation this week. They're just going to hang out at the house in Elgin. They weren't even going to go rent a place out in Kerrville or Lago Vista or anything.
I mean, that's honestly my dream vacation.
Staying at home?
Yes, dude. No. Staying at home, getting drunk, playing video games. That is my dream vacation.
Well, your life is a vacation then, because that's what you do all the time when you're not up here at the radio station.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, that's fair, but, you know, shouldn't we all be relaxing that hard? Shouldn't we all be on little vacations all the time?
Look, America does do it wrong. I will give you that. I mean, we here are almost braggadocious about our 60 to 80 hour work weeks when that is very unhealthy for most individuals. And perhaps it does affect productivity, but I'm a big fan of the siesta slash nap culture that happens elsewhere around the world. It was a great thing. We went and visited Italy 7.5 years ago. I mean, there was straight up downtime after lunch for at least a couple of hours, and the whole city just slows to a crawl. Now, big cities are a little bit exempt from it, but in terms of being in some of these smaller communities, there's just not a whole lot going on because everybody's resting, and that's good. Naps are healthy. Small doses of sleep in the middle of your day actually helps recharge you to get through the rest of the day.
Well, don't they say, too, aren't you supposed to be like the normal human, I guess, like caveman, Neanderthal, whatever sleep cycle was, I think it was 4 hours, and then you were awake for like a long period of time, and then 4 hours again. And then you were like, you were alternating pretty much.
That might have been the case back then when you're having to worry about a saber-toothed tiger sneaking into the cave and eating you or a family member. But I don't necessarily believe that that is the natural, healthy way to go about your sleep. The circadian rhythm is a thing. And the way that the circadian rhythm operates is that you naturally get more tired when the sun is no longer up. So you probably need a little bit more sleep in the wintertime and a little bit less sleep in the summer. And you can go to bed earlier in the winter and a little bit later in the summer. So I think that and they've done research over time and looked at people who work graveyard shifts and whatnot to find out just how unhealthy that lifestyle is. And like all mortality risk goes way up if you work the overnight shift for an extended period.
Bro, I believe that. I was working it over at a hotel that it will remain unnamed for now. But I was working the graveyard shift over there. I think, honestly, maybe if I worked 4 days out of that week, one of them, I would almost fall asleep while driving. To the point where I would actually have to pull over and be like, okay, I am going to take a nap here. I'm going to do something to wake myself up a little bit more.
For people who may not realize putting two and two together, Sam was a valet at a hotel, correct?
Yes, I was a valet at a hotel.
I didn't realize overnight. Super 8 offered valet services. That's pretty cool.
I wish, man. Maybe they would have tipped better. They would have had a little more appreciation. But like, it was a pretty ritzy hotel, and apparently rich people do not know how to tip at all when you move their car around.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with the valet service is because it was probably offered up as free valet service, people just assume that means I'm not going to have to worry about anything because they're already paying an arm and a leg just to have a room there for a couple of nights.
That's honestly fair. I think some of the rooms got up to like $1,500 a night. And
what?
Yes, dude.
Did you ever go into one of these rooms?
You know, I was, unfortunately, they were doing a thing where everyone got a free night in the hotel. And I was let go just before then. It wasn't because I was bad, though. It was Corona. That's what did it.
Well, that and they realized that they didn't want your ass in a hotel room for even a couple of hours with the aforementioned living life like a vacation like you have.
I definitely do not fit in well with people who have money. So that is fair.
What does that mean?
That means, are you looking at me?
Yeah, I guess you are wearing an unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt right now and a bandana.
And track pants. Like, this is not luxury living.
Can you please tell me what the bandana is for, by the way? Because normally you wear something like that to keep the hair out of your face. But the bandana is squarely under the bangs. So it's not helping out with the bangs at all.
It moves, honestly. I don't know what it is. I don't know if my hair is that powerful. It has that much downward force to where it forces the bandana down, but I have to move it like 30 times a day.
Are you doing this because you have more of a receding hairline than any of us realize? This look?
No, I do it because I get a little sweaty. You've seen my pits.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's both a necessity and also a fashion choice.
Does that affect your forehead, too? The sweat?
Does it affect my forehead?
The sweat.
Yeah, what do you mean? Like when the bandana takes on sweat?
No. You say you're a big sweater. Are you saying that you're sweating from your forehead on down? Normally people who are bad sweaters are, you may sweat a little bit in the face, but really it is a neck down thing, starting with the pits and then just going through swamp ass and everything else throughout your body.
I think it's the combo of the long hair and the being fat that makes it to where my forehead gets all sweaty like that. You know?
You know, there's a solution here, Sam.
What's that?
Be less fat.
I'm not a fan of that one.
Are you a fan of corn dogs?
Yeah, I'll eat a corn dog or two. I only ever had frozen corn dogs, actually. That's my one greatest life regret. I've never eaten like a real fair corn dog.
That's disappointing because the state of Texas does have what I consider to be the best corn dog on the planet, the Fletcher's corn dog. But I've also been going to the state fair since I was a kid, it being up in Dallas, did my growing up in the Metroplex. Obviously been to a ton of Texas OU games in that time, so I've had maybe more Fletcher's corn dogs than I have actual hot dogs in my life.
Is there anything that you can't fry and eat on a stick? Like, I mean, I think most things automatically would be better fried and put on a stick.
So the answer is yes, and I only know that because every year for Texas OU, that is one of a handful of days that I truly throw caution to the wind in terms of my rabbit diet and am willing to eat whatever the hell if it's fried and it looks that appetizing. So over time, I've had a fried grilled cheese sandwich.
That sounds incredible.
Awesome.
Dude.
Somehow found a way to take the delicious toasted texture of bread up another notch by dipping it in batter and frying it. Fried pizza, also really good. Fried Snickers, fried what? Reese's peanut butter cups.
How do you fry chocolate with it not melting? How does that work?
Dip it in batter. I mean, it does get gooey. I mean, you're biting into it and it's melty. It's like taking a chocolate chip cookie straight out of the oven. Eating a cookie from Tiff's Treats or something.
I need to expand my fried food horizons, man.
But ironically, the fried food that did not work, and this shocked me. You could have given me maybe 50 choices of a food that would work fried, or that wouldn't work fried, I would say. And this might be number 50 for me in terms of, I know that's going to taste good as a fried food. It was country fried bacon.
What? And that was bad?
You know why it wasn't good?
Why?
When is bacon not good?
Oh, when it's crunchy.
Excuse me?
Crispy bacon's the worst bacon.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going on the record saying crispy bacon is the worst bacon.
I don't have the authority to fire you, but if I did, you would be fired right now. I can't believe you just said that. Are you telling me that you prefer your bacon flimsy?
Yes, dude. That is when it's the best. It is the optimal eating. You get the fat that's like perfectly on there. It's all nice. Basically, if all of the bacon could be the texture of that fat that is on the bacon, that would be ideal.
But that's why the crispy bacon is so good, because the fatty part, it's still delicate, but it's a little bit more crumbly. And you also get the crunch of crispy bacon, too.
I don't want to eat eggs and croutons, bro. I want eggs and bacon.
It's not croutons!
It's croutons! It's bacon croutons!
No, it's not, unless you have the teeth of an 85-year-old.
I'm getting pretty close.
So you haven't eaten enough Fletcher's corn dogs in your life, Sam, and while there is little to no chance that you'll actually be at Texas OU this year, we did get some great news yesterday with regards to the Texas OU game. They're still planning on holding it in Dallas, despite the fact that the state fair is canceled this year. And according to the Horn Zone, Bob Ballou, who broke this news yesterday morning, Fletcher's Original Corny Dogs does plan on opening on the Cotton Bowl grounds August 10th for Texas OU.
Whoa, how does that work?
They've been doing pop-ups in the Metroplex throughout the summer, and I think they plan on continuing to do so through when the state fair happens. They also have a stand set up at DKR. And I don't know if the stand is still there with all the construction that they're doing. I'm assuming that at least temporarily it's not there. But under normal circumstances, Fletcher's does have a presence at DKR in the southwest corner of the stadium. So they've just been doing pop-ups around town to try and generate a little bit of money, because they usually sell 500,000 hot dogs during the state fair, which is about 60,000 pounds of hot dog and corn dog batter. But that's obviously not a thing now. So it's not surprising to me to hear them jump at the opportunity to at least get to sell Fletcher's corn dogs for one day. Because if there's one thing that is very difficult to do on Texas OU Saturday, it's get a Fletcher's corn dog. The line is excessive and it stays that way. And you can go out of the stadium during the game and having an easy time getting a Fletcher's corn dog, which is sometimes what I do, depending on what's happening in the game. If it's a really bad game, Texas is getting their asses kicked at halftime, or maybe Texas is kicking some ass going into halftime. Leave a couple minutes early, get that corn dog, pound a couple, four beers, and then go back into the stadium. But otherwise, it's a difficult thing to acquire on game day, before or after the game.
Now, do you tell your family that you're going to get a corn dog, or are you like, oh, I'm going to the bathroom, and then you come back and you're slightly more sloshed and slightly more full?
No, usually I have at least one compadre with me, if not a couple. I mean, our plan is to try and beat the crowd at halftime to go get more beers, and I know you can buy some alcohol in the stadium now. It's still pretty limited, but we just make a rush for it. I mean, we run. If we're in the upper deck, we are probably being a little bit jerky to people going down the ramp, but we want to get down to the bottom before the crowds gather outside, because that is what happens. Half the stadium ends up leaving at halftime with the same plan that we have. So you have to be a little bit ahead of them with that. And usually we are. And now that we get Fletcher's Corn Dogs, I've already said on these airways over the last couple of weeks, if I go to one Texas game this year, and I'll probably end up going to a game at DKR this year also, but if I go to one game this season, it's going to be Texas OU at the Cotton Bowl. Yes, even if I have to wear a face mask in the stands, I understand. That's the requirement. I will adhere to that. But because I've been to that game nearly 30 times in my life, I want to see what that's like under these unique set of circumstances.
Yeah, stadiums are getting weird, man, because they're doing like the whole 6 feet plexiglass kind of, almost like a little box for yourself in the stands. Have you seen on,
no.
I think they're doing it at the Ranger Stadium here in town, the Dell Diamond or something, I think.
Hmm.
And they're doing essentially like, you get 6 feet for your ticket, and then they have two big plexiglass like dividers
between each seat,
between each like a 6 foot little area seat, air quotes seat. You know what I mean?
What they need to do, they don't need to do that. I think that's a little bit of a waste of resources. And no offense to the people at the Round Rock Express, the Dell Diamond. I'm sure your intentions are good, and perhaps Sam is just not describing this correctly. What they need to do is they need to put the plexiglass in front of the seats, like. You go to the edge of the cement where your row is, and there's the drop down for the seats in front of you. You have the plexiglass coming up from there.
To keep the frontal.
Whatever projecting that you're doing. And I know everybody's going to be wearing face masks, so it's not as big of a deal. But if you really are allowing people to take their face masks off for eating and drinking and things like that, which is realistic, but you want to go with the plexiglass bit, that's where you do it, not side to side. You don't box somebody in. In a glass case of emotion.
You don't sit straddling your bench, Trey, when you're at the game?
Probably not. Probably not straddling the bench. You do it in front because whatever you're yelling or saying, that breath is going forward, if this is the science that you believe in, that breath is going forward and forward and down. So forward and down to somebody who's actually sitting a little bit down in front of you, that's not good for that person if you're infected. If you've got COVID.
Oh, we hadn't heard it yet today.
That person is in trouble. I'm glad people finally started to realize where I got that from.
Where is that? I don't know.
Kobe.
Oh, my God. I never even put two and two together.
COVID. Just got to hold the hand up. You're good.
Every time with the COVID?
Every time. Sam, NFL practices are starting today. I don't know if every team is hitting the practice field today, but the Dallas Cowboys did.
Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah, you're a Saints fan. I get it. They are one of your rivals this year. I mean, I think it is the Saints who may sit in the driver's seat in terms of the team that people think have the best chance of making it to the Super Bowl, but the Cowboys are right there, too.
Yeah, I mean, especially after we got cheated last season.
You guys have gotten cheated a lot in the last few years.
Yeah, dude, what is that? Why we get all the hate? What do we do?
Well, I think the cheated, in quotes, 2 years ago, the pass interference, that was just a matter of the officials not being very good.
Right.
Which is common in sports,
and
even at the NFL level.
There's been a lot of reform on how they're doing the referees now, right, after that happened?
There was. I mean, you could challenge pass interference last year, but it was still so subjective, and it kind of felt like the refs were offended that this was now an option, so they refused to overturn pass interference calls. Whatever was called on the field, it was next to impossible to get them to admit that they needed to reverse that, even when the evidence was there. I mean, that was them kind of doing their own silent revolt.
Well, nobody likes being wrong.
Hey, Sam, turn yourself on the stream. I've had my mother and Rod Babers both let me know. So there, anybody who's been listening on the stream for the last 20 minutes now, been listening to me have a conversation by myself. Thank you very much for everybody.
I'm sure you only sounded a little crazy.
Probably a lot crazy. Talking about corn dogs. By the way, there is only one way to dress your corn dog, if you will.
Okay.
You're given the mustard and ketchup option at the fair. They may even offer mayonnaise too, which is just gross. But Fletcher's, the only condiment that they're okay with putting on their corn dogs is mustard.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you... You don't get to decide what I put on my corn dog, Fletchers.
Well, back off, Sam. You've never had Fletchers before.
That's true.
Let me guess, you're a ketchup guy, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I honestly wish I could put relish on a corn dog. That would be dope.
You know, that's interesting. And I think you might be able to do that, too. You're just going to have to mess with the breading a little bit.
What do you mean? You have to... Like, finagle it on, or what?
Like, maybe split the breading open at the top and kind of turn it into, like, a version of a hot dog on a stick.
Can we start a store or just, like, a dumb food truck that sells hot dogs on a stick?
It'd be a less terrible idea than a crepe shop.
A crepe shop? We have a crepe food truck here?
Crepes.
Yeah.
Oh, there are storefronts that have been committed to crepes. I saw this in Chicago also. It made no sense to me. Drink up. Crepes are very much a novelty food. It's a food that you'll have every so often. I had a crepe. But who wants to go eat crepes on a weekly basis? Nobody.
It's like a potato pancake, right? Isn't that, or no?
It's got a little bit of that about it. I'm not sure if it's potato because I've never actually made one before. I thought there was an egg element to them as well. But it may just be like a flour base. Like you take a bunch of ingredients and then... kind of wrap it burrito style into this flour base, flour water base.
And you still put syrup on it or what?
There are sweet and savory crepes, Sam.
Oh.
But none of them are good enough to actually justify dedicating an entire store to the crepe. Just remember that. So congratulations to anybody considering going to Texas OU this year and jonesing for a Fletcher's corn dog. Looks like that's going to be an option, assuming that game happens on October 10th. Coming up on the other side, we will get a UT practice update with our buddy Joe Cook of Inside Texas. You're listening to Shirts and Skins. Chad Hastings on vacation on the Horn. Back here on Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Yeah, Sam, it's official. That entire conversation was missed by a lot of people who were listening on the app and on the stream. Thank you very much for that, by the way. I promise you I was not talking to myself. Sam Pica was a part of things. If you were listening on the AM or FM signals, you heard as much. But if you're listening online, that's the way these things go sometimes, Sam.
I don't know what he's talking about. I watched Trey sit here and talk to himself for 20 minutes. It was the most insane thing I've seen in my life.
You know, that's a real jerk move by you. We have some clarification on crepes, by the way, and thank you to Roseanne Elling for helping out here. She also let me know that she couldn't hear you. Crepes are thin pancakes, and apparently crepe trucks are big in Breckenridge. Lines are long. That makes sense. A state where weed is legal, crepes are also a big thing. At least in a ski town. Like, that's not even something that's convenient to eat. You have to have, I'm almost positive, you have to have a fork to eat a crepe.
Is Breckenridge a state? I thought it was a hospital.
A state? What are you talking about? It's a city within a state.
Oh. Is it a, I mean, I didn't know it was anything other than a hospital.
Breckenridge is a hospital also, although I don't know if Breckenridge still exists. They
Really?
Breckenridge down to put the new UT Dell Medical Center in.
Where are people going to go when they get their faces scraped off by motorcycles?
That's a great question. Perhaps you can look that up while I'm speaking with our next guest. He is Joe Cook of Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at JosephCook89. Joe, thank you as always for the time. We were talking last segment about Fletcher's Corn Dogs announcing that they would be there for Texas OU on October 10th. Have you ever had a Fletcher's Corn Dog before?
I have. I don't rarely wait in the line just because normally when I'm there, I've got something else on my mind. I don't normally go to the state fair just to go to the state fair. It's normally in and out of the Cotton Bowl. But I have had them. They are great. And there's nothing like that and that wax cup to go along with it after that, before and after that game.
Oh, those wax cup frosty beers. You're right about that. Joe, I'll be honest. I was not a big state fair goer before starting to have kids. So if and when you go down that road, that's when you actually attend the state fair on non-Texas OU days.
Yeah, you won't find me in Fair Park except maybe once a year. So I relish it whenever I do get that hour before and a couple hours after. the annual OU Texas OU game.
So, Joe, Texas football has been on the practice field in some capacity for a week now. We ask so little about Sam Ellinger these days because, let's be honest, he's a senior quarterback. He's somebody that a lot of people have faith in, so we just assume everything is okay there. How has Sam looked early on in fall practice?
I think if you just look at the pictures that seem to be popping up, you can tell that this is a guy who's ready for his senior year. This offense, I think we discussed the other day, does a little bit more to open up things for the outside receivers, and, of course, that includes – some routes that, you know, go down the field, some fly routes, some deep professional throws. And so far, Sam is making them in practice from what we've heard. He's looking like he's supposed to. He's looking like one of the top quarterbacks in the country. He's looking like what a four-year starter looks like at a program like Texas. So if there was any concern about quarterback from anybody going into this year, I don't think they have to be concerned. I think they can still be confident Sam Ellinger that they saw last year, you know, be top 10 in the country in yards, have those rough spots, but still have, you know, play to a level that led the team to, you know, the offense would not have gone along without him. They don't have to be concerned that there's going to be a big step down. In fact, I would be absolutely shocked if Sam Ellinger had a step down during his senior season.
Is Casey Thompson solidly Sam's backup? And if so, how has Hudson Card looked so far?
I think he is right now. And this is something we get into a little bit over on the Humidor on Inside Texas. And I think we just started a free two-week promo today. So it's something you can see over there for free today if you sign up at Inside Texas. Right now, it's Thompson. He's got that seniority. He's got, you know, the couple of years of experience. I think if they put out a depth chart, which sometimes is not worth the paper it's put on, you would see Thompson's name right behind Ellinger. But what we saw at Lake Travis from Hudson Card, the ability to lead an offense, whether it be through accurate throws or through, you know, grabbing some yards with his legs, I think that's translating to Texas. And anybody who is concerned about him, you know, playing at around 180 and being injury prone as a Cavalier, well, he's well above 180 now. He's 190, probably approaching 200, and is able to do as all college kids do and add some weight on their frame once they get to a real strength and conditioning program. And he's been very, very impressive. They love his accuracy. Hank Carter knows how to make quarterbacks out there in Lake Travis, and he was just the next in line. So, but still, you value that experience that someone like Casey Thompson provides. It's a valuable piece to add to a roster, a third-year quarterback who knows the offense and knows what's expected of him. But that's not to say that there's not a lot of promise with Hudson Card and that he has shown that so far through the first 2 weeks, first week.
A lot of people have a ton of confidence in what Bijan Robinson will be able to do once he's given some opportunities. Are the coaches having to work with him on anything right now? Obviously, five stars come in very ready to play, but they're also straight out of high school, so you assume that there's at least one or two things that they are trying to get better at.
Yeah, this was something that we identified not as a concern, but as a thing to watch ever since Bijan committed last year. We've kind of written about this on Inside Texas at length, and it's something we write about with all our recruits is, you know, the Bijan Robinson's highlights were filled with him just simply running away from people. Wasn't touched, you know, set all those prep records in Arizona, became probably the state's most decorated high school player ever. So the thing is, if you're running away from everybody, how often are you getting tackled? What's it like when you're getting tackled the first time? Or in this case, what we really wanted to know is what's happened that fifth time or maybe that tenth time. And then that time you have to go and pass block right after you got rung on the sidelines trying to get extra yards. That's the thing that is worth watching with Robinson. He's obviously great at what he does when he's running the football. But just the other parts of being a running back, that's what he really needed to work on and so far has done well. And I think you can even point towards last year and seeing what Stan Drayton did with Rashawn Johnson, that if that was a guy who he knew what he needed to do at the position running-wise because his Port Neches Groves offense asked him to be a running back so often. But they still needed to he still needed to figure out what to do when the football wasn't in his hands. And that's something that Bijan will have to do in addition to being able to just go throughout the course of a game and take some punishment. Now, Texas has three-headed running back stable, and then you throw Sam Ehlinger in there. So it's not like he's going to take 20, 25 carries a game and, you know, really have to put his head down and go do stuff. He could, but that won't be asked from him. But there's still going to be some occasions where he's got to get those extra yards or he's got to pick up that blitzing linebacker. And that's what he needs to work on. Not to say that he won't be able to do it, but that's the thing coming out of high school that he's got to pick up on most. And so far, as we wrote on Inside Texas earlier today, that's something that he's working on and is going to do well with.
Speaking with Joe Cook of Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com. Joe, you mentioned the outside receiver position a couple of answers ago. Are we in the process of seeing Troy O'Meary, the true freshman wideout wearing number 21, working his way into a starting role by the start of conference play?
I don't know if enough camp, if enough practices has happened for him to earn his way into a starting role, especially with Brendan Eagles there and the experience of Tariq Black. But he is definitely proving himself in a way I'm not sure a lot of people expected coming into this season. I think a lot of people, when he first flipped from A&M to Texas, were happy that they got his commitment, but were more happy because of the jokes they could laugh at their Aggie brethren. They didn't really celebrate so much, at least at the time, because of the quality of player he was. And then he had a really phenomenal senior season where he started to show that, hey, maybe he's like another 21, like that number 21 out west and Tyler Vaughn's out at USC. Big guy who is able to get separation both by using his side and against Texas' number one corners, guys like Deshaun Jameson and Jalen Green, able to use his speed and make plays. And so I don't know if enough time has elapsed for him to be able to take over that number one spot. But he is definitely pushing in a way that will get him, at least right now, starter level snaps just because of the way that he has been so far during fall preseason camp.
Quick look on the defensive side of the ball. It was disappointing to see, and look, understandable. I totally respect the kid's decision. But selfishly speaking, that Marquez Bimage decided to opt out of the 2020 season, I had him pegged as a guy who was really going to break out this year on the other side of that defensive line from Joseph Osai. But that's no longer a part of the conversation. Who steps in for Bimage, and who do you think the most productive player ends up being at that defensive end spot?
So the guys who could step in for Bimage include senior Jacoby Jones, Moro Ojomo, I believe a sophomore, and true freshman Vernon Broughton. Bimage, and honestly, all those players were going to benefit hugely from not having to play at probably not their optimal size and probably not their optimal position. Honestly, I thought there were times where Jacoby Jones looked a little too big last year. Marquez Bimage, you'll remember, I think his weight last year was listed in like the 270s. And for as strong and as talented as he is, there's not a lot of length on that frame. And so that's tough when you're playing 4-eye. I think Jones and Ojomo and Broughton are going to hugely benefit from playing outside the shoulder. I know I've said this over and over and written about it on Inside Texas plenty of times. They will hugely benefit from being able to play on the edge, having someone like Osai on that opposite side. So I don't think depth is going to be a major problem. And then, of course, now that they're recruiting for a four-down system, they're going to get even better depth, more guys who want to play that position, guys, I think, like Jatavion Sanders. But as far as, you know, the guys who are still playing this year, it's tough for me to bet against Ojomo. And I know that's a big change with him going from basically – nose tackle last year to defensive end. But I think when the season starts coming around, there'll be Ojomo should, in my opinion, I think he'll be the guy that ends up out there first. He'll be splitting snaps with Jacoby Jones. But I do think that Vernon Broughton is a guy that they are very, very happy that they landed last cycle and that he could start eating into those second snaps, him along with fellow freshman Alfred Collins. Both those guys on the defensive line have been getting a lot of huge positive reviews thus far from everybody we've talked to at Inside Texas.
Outside of Joseph Osai, is Keandre Coburn the most talented player on this Texas defense this year?
Ooh, I don't know about that because I am still a huge Caden Stearns believer, and I'm also still a huge Deshaun Jameson believer. But I think that the thing with Keandre Coburn both last year and then I think going forward this year is his impact may not be seen in his own stat line. This is a big dude who's got a motor. It may not be able to run for 80 plays, may not be able to run for, you know, five plays straight, but when it's running hot. And he is a guy that just with his skill, even we've seen over the past couple of years, kind of requires double teams. I mean, we saw that with Puna Ford and how much of an impact that can have on a defense. I don't know if Coburn will be able to penetrate the way that Puna Ford was able to do on a down-by-down basis, but this is a, you know, what, 6'1", I think 340-pound guy who can move. And that's tough for offensive linemen to have to take on. So I think that he is a very, very valuable piece to this defense, I think. And I don't think there's a big drop-off between him and Tavondre Sweat. It's a lot of positivity today, especially this past week. But I think that Keandre Coburn is definitely one of the biggest keys to this defense being able to have a successful season in 2020.
He is Joe Cook, Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com, on Twitter at JosephCook89. Joe, thank you as always for the time. We'll probably catch up with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Trey.
Have a good weekend. Real quick correction on our way to commercial break, Sam. And damn it, people couldn't hear you online, so they probably don't realize that you were the one that initially said this. But apparently, the Round Rock Express do not have plexiglass at the Dell Diamond.
I'm stupid.
You may have heard that somewhere, and whoever said that to you was mistaken. But the Round Rock Express do not have plexiglass at the Dell Diamond. There are painted squares on the grounds, but they don't go as far as the plexiglass, which, personally speaking, that makes me very happy to hear. I haven't attended anything at Dell Diamond since all of this went down. Be happy to attend something in the not-too-distant future. And I'll be especially happy to do so knowing that there's not plexiglass surrounding my seat. I don't want to be trapped in that glass case of emotion, Sam.
They got a pretty badass UFC event going on tomorrow night, I know. I would probably get a ticket, but I am poor.
You are poor indeed. He is Sam Pika. He's going to lead us through the crap bag coming up next. You're listening to Shirts and Skins. Mine is Chad Hastings on the Horn. Okay, so I think I just responded to what had to have been somewhere between 50 and 100 text messages letting us know from the start of the show, Sam, that they could not hear your microphone when listening on the stream or the app. So thank you to everybody who provided us the courtesy to let us know that. We got it corrected by the end of the first segment, and now we should be good to go going forward, Sam, which is important because you are about to lead us through this next segment. It is Chad's Crap Bag.
Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Sam, what's in today's Crap Bag?
I think we're doing a little bit of Am I the A-hole today for the Crap Bag.
Always love this bit.
For those who don't know, we read some stories from the internet where people have possibly done a-hole things, and they ask you to be the judge, jury, and executioner. So obviously, since me and Trey are the two most morally benign people, we will decide who was the a-hole.
Yeah, I'm morally bankrupt, but I'm also a good gauge of whether or not somebody is an a-hole, because that's what I am as a person. You can agree with that, right?
Yeah, I think we both got a little bit of that in us, and that's why we're lovable.
Are you that? You're like the consummate nice guy. Everybody loves you around here.
Really?
Everybody hates me around here.
Wow. I feel like I'm a douche 95% of the time, but...
Well, there's a difference between being a D-bag and an A-hole.
That's fair. All right, maybe we should start, like, am I the D-bag?
If you and I ever get a show together, it can be the A-hole with the D-bag.
Oh,
the
God.
A-hole with the D-bag.
Ugh, I don't want to picture that.
Yeah, that's probably not phrased very well.
Oh, man. All right. The first possible a-hole. I don't know if this is a regular occurrence, but I went into the kitchen last night about an hour after I told my girlfriend I was going to bed. She always pumps before bed, so I assumed that that's what she was doing. When I walked into the kitchen, she was sitting at the table, and she picked up the bottle of breast milk she pumps into and took a sip. I said, "What the hell?" And she turned around and got super red in the face. I asked what she was doing, and she said, "I just took a sip. I wanted to try it." I said, "You're disgusting," and she started crying. I went back in the bedroom, and she never came to bed until the morning when our daughter began to cry. I asked why she never came to bed, and she said that I made her feel embarrassed. I told her nobody was around, and I apologized if I upset her, but it was still disgusting, and she made the comment about how drinking her own breast milk is less gross than drinking a cow's milk. But I said that I disagree. Now she's upset and mad at me. Am I the a-hole?
100%. Why are you doubling down right now, dude?
It's kind of gross, bro.
Okay, even if it's kind of gross, people are curious. I tried my wife's breast milk.
Really?
I had Chad Hastings and Brad Kellner try Justine's breast milk.
Why? What is the draw? I don't get it.
Just curiosity?
See, I'm not curious enough to... I get the logic of like, oh, it's just like drinking a cow's milk. That's even weirder, but... I don't know, man.
Well, there is a conversation to be had about cow's milk and how yummy cow's milk actually is.
What do you mean, how yummy it is?
Cow's milk is not that good.
What?
It's one of those things that has been overcooked, no pun intended, by society for a long time now. And here's the problem with cow's milk also, Sam. You stop consuming milk for an extended stretch, your body's going to have a hard time digesting it after that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because you're not naturally supposed to be drinking another animal's milk, especially, and again, I'm not telling you to drink unpasteurized milk, but especially in a pasteurized state, because pasteurization, while it kills things that can be very harmful for you, it also kills certain enzymes that allow that liquid to break down in the human body.
I've heard that apparently a lot of people who go overseas with the Army or the Marines or whatever, you know, branch you may be in, end up coming back and being lactose intolerant even if they weren't before, because it's been so long that they had milk that it just messes them up.
It happened to me. It's happened to a lot of people that I've known. And it's going to happen to you, too. At some point, you will stop drinking milk for like 6 months, a year, 2 years, and you'll try and go back to it. You pour it over the top of some cereal, and you'll realize that, I didn't eat Raisin Bran, but I'm kind of getting that Raisin Bran feeling right now.
I was going to say, I there's no way, because I enjoy cereal way too much. I eat Fruity Pebbles probably 4 days a week.
Fruity Pebbles aren't a bad option in terms of that type of cereal, the fruity cereal. Like, I liked Fruit Loops okay back in the 80s, but Fruity Pebbles is probably the starting point for me.
Your boy Toucan Sam is the realest cereal mascot.
No, I'm going with the Cap'n Crunch.
Really?
Yeah, he's the mascot. Or Tony the Tiger. I mean, Tony the Tiger's going to eat all the other mascots.
Tony the Tiger's a chump. I don't know why. I think if you were to put all of the cereal mascots in like a Death Arena, a Thunderdome situation, I don't think Tony the Tiger would come out on top.
Tony the Tiger is going to eat the other mascots. I just said this. He is a freaking tiger.
He's a tiger, but he's a soft-ass tiger.
He may have...
they're great! And then he catches a left hook to the jaw. Like, that's what's going to happen.
He may have feminine tendencies, but here's the thing. You put a tiger in a position where it's having to defend itself, he returns to true tiger status. You think Count Chocula is going to do something to that tiger?
He is a vampire.
I mean, Cap'n Crunch does have military service that he's leaning back on, but... he's also a little bit higher up in the ranking, so he's not having to get his hands nearly as dirty. Unless he's, like, in the Navy SEALs or something. I assume that he's just a part of the regular Navy. If he's a Navy SEAL, there's a good chance Cap'n Crunch can maybe mess this tiger up and end up out on top, although he's probably going to have some serious wounds to address.
Nah, I feel like he's in the clear, because not only does he have a sword, but I don't think he is, like, a Navy captain. I think he's, like, a pirate captain. I mean, isn't he?
No, he's dressed militarily.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't have an eye patch on.
Well, you don't have to have an eye patch to be a pirate.
You think Fred Flintstone from Fruity Pebbles, you think he's going to do anything? He's probably going to lose to Toucan Sam, that Fred Flintstone. He's a lazy ass.
Fred Flintstone will definitely get his ass kicked. But, I mean, the Trix Rabbit or, like, the Cocoa Puffs guy, those guys are tweaked out hard.
Yeah,
like,
that's
those
true.
Those guys got a pretty good shot.
Never underestimate a tweaker. I will give you that. All right, what's one more AMI the A-hole for today?
My phone locked. My phone locked, and it hates me. All right.
I need to think of some of the other...
my
cereal mascots now. If you have some ideas here, please text those in, 337-3776.
All right. Our next possible a-hole. My father is an extremely rich politician from a third world country. I always had everything when I was a child except for his love and attention. For him, I did not exist. When I was a teenager, I got sent off to a fancy private school abroad and have been living on a monthly allowance. I'm currently in university, and I still receive an okay amount of money every month. However, in the past year, I've noticed that there is less and less communication between us, and anytime he sends me money, he goes on a 20-minute rant about how poor he is and how he can barely afford paying for my university and expenses, and that I need to stop using electricity and eat less. I used to believe him until one day I mentioned it to my mother. They're still together legally but separated. She was livid. He had been acting the same way with her, and after she dug a little, she found he had two mistresses. Here is where it gets worse. Both of these women are around my age, and he bought them millions of dollars worth of property, cars, and clothes. He showers their little nieces with money while complaining anytime I ask for money to pay for my electricity bill. I'm graduating in 3 years and fully expect to be left with absolutely no support from him. Ever since I found out about him spending money this way, I've been constantly making up expenses and begging for money any chance I get. I've been saving like crazy, awaiting the day he gets rid of me. I mentioned it to my long-term boyfriend while he was there drinking, and he was disgusted with me. He said I was literally stealing from my own father, and I'm not entitled to any of his money. Am I the a-hole?
No, because your dad has been a jerk to you your entire life. And he's also lying to you in this situation, so you're milking him for a little bit before the inevitable happens, which is an outright separation from that parent.
I kind of get that, but it's like, you are kind of the a-hole because you are kind of, like you said, just milking your dad.
You know what? Take advantage of a situation. Your dad has not been there for you your entire life, so this is a sort of repayment. This is your deadbeat reparations, if you will.
Well, I feel like, too, I don't know, maybe it's just because of how I grew up, but it's like, you're definitely not entitled to any of his money. After a certain point, especially once you're in college, like, I was paying for, you know, a bunch of my stuff. Literally all of my stuff by then.
Right.
So, I mean, the fact that he even is giving you an allowance already is way more than he has to do.
Yeah, you're not entitled, but if he's giving it to you, and he's going on these long soliloquies every time he gives you money, you just nod your head, say, yeah, yes, sir, I gotcha. Yeah, I'll start and do a better job of that, and you take that money in and keep saving up. I have no problem with this person operating the way that they are. You said it was a girl?
Yes, it was a girl.
Okay. I have no problem with her doing what she's doing right there, because the dad is the original a-hole here. A-holes breed a-holes.
Okay, so it's okay because he did it to himself.
That's
what
right.
You're saying.
My kids are screwed. I'm their dad. They're going to have at least a little bit of that in them going forward.
Are you expecting a nice retirement home in the end?
Oh, God, no.
No?
No, my kids will drop me like a rock when they have a chance. As long as I'm with their mom still, I'll be okay, because they truly love their mom. But when it comes to me, no, there's going to be a hard separation at some point down the road.
Maybe you guys could have a nice tent under a bridge somewhere.
Perhaps, especially if we live in Austin. All right, thanks for today's Crap Bag, Sam. He will be back with Where Are We At in Society coming up at 1:45. Coming up next is our weekly conversation with Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods. We'll find out what he's hearing about the first week of UT fall practice. Coming up next, Shirts and Skins, no Chad Hastings on the horn.